Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
We are every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Chris Mason brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. C Mace, what's up?
Not too much, guys. Just hanging out, doing some of my chores list today.
Oh, chores. Wednesday chores. Any of them fun or no?
What was that? Sorry, I missed.
I said, any of them fun or no?
Hey, D-Max, sorry, buddy. I just missed that.
I'll tell you what, we'll just move on. It's not that big of a deal. If Calgary ends up being the first-round opponent for the Predators, and I know they're going to be back here in 6 days, what did you observe last night about the Flames? What was your takeaway from Calgary last night, or from where you're from, Calgary?
Yes. Well, I call it Calgary as well. Other people do Calgary.
So it's just crispy?
Calgary, but I say Calgary, yeah. And I'm from there. Crispy's an Ontario native, so I think I've got the enunciation. Anyway, let's move on here. What did I see from Calgary? Well, yep. I see an obviously a very talented team. I think we might not have seen their best. They played the night before. I thought Vladar was very good. But it's a team that can definitely hang with the Predators, I think, physically. I think their high-end talent is excellent, maybe one of the top lines in the National Hockey League. I think they did a lot of great things out there, but I thought maybe their best defensive game of the season, I thought they did a really good job neutralizing Johnny Gaudreau, Lindholm, and Tkachuk. You know, they got that kind of a lucky power play goal or whatever, but I thought for the most part, you know, Johnny Gaudreau was doing his thing, dancing around a little bit. Tkachuk was trying to get in there. Maybe not their best game, but I could see, I'll tell you what, if these two end up, it's going to be a heck of a series. It's going to be a war. But I see it's two very similar teams, I think. But I think Calgary, in my opinion, the back end is not very offensive. They got a lot of salt. Like, they have six solid guys that can play. I think you can exploit. You saw last night, I think they exploited Zadorov and Branson with the speed factor. They can battle if it gets in tight and in front of the net. They're very effective there. But I think speed-wise, you could take advantage of them. I just think it would be an unbelievable series. Just very, very similar teams in the way they approach the game.
Yeah. Nick Cousins told me that last night in postgame. He agrees with you. He feels like they're similar teams. So Willie and I were discussing earlier in the show about UC Saros, like early in his career, what he was like in shootouts, and really the way he's been here of late, and I guess later in his career. By the way, happy birthday to him yesterday, 27 years old. So he gets a win on his birthday. Also pitches the shutout and the shootout. What have you seen from him over the years in that spot, which is obviously a one-on-one situation, a unique dynamic in the sport that we won't see in the playoffs but see in the regular season, kind of his development and growth in that department?
I think a lot of it is just obviously getting the experience, finding the balance of using the pre-scout information, you know, being able to rely on your instincts. And I feel in the shootout, from when he started to now, the biggest thing for me is his trust, his patience. You know, when these guys are coming down, he really rarely, you know, you saw with our, every single time the guys came down, he bit on the move, on that initial fake, and they're always looking. So the understanding of how they're going to try to set you up, you use, you know, the clips that you watch in video, hey, he always tried to do this pump fake, and then he goes to the backhand or forehand or whatever he decides to do. A lot of guys have different moves, but just that awareness and being able to resist the urge to bite, you know, the combination of the intel you've collected and also, but also using your instincts, because we were talking about that last time in the broadcast, is the players know that you've pre-scouted them. So they know that you might be expecting one thing, so they'll try to set you up to look like they're going to do that, do something else. It's just a, you know, it's just a bunch of mind games, right? But I think Saros is really, he's really honed that in and being able to use both of them together effectively. And I mean, I think before last night, his save percentage of shootout was 731, I believe. So obviously that's been up, and that's really high end. And that's including the slow start, because he did get off to a terrible start in shootouts. But he's got, it's like any skill, you know, you work on it, and you have to master it, find the balance of how to use the information and not rely on it, be completely reliant on it, and still be able to read and react to the situation. He's been awesome.
Chris Mason is with us. We're talking Nashville Predators hockey. A little bit of a break now until the team goes to Tampa and plays the Lightning on Saturday. Then it's a whirlwind for the final five games, for sure. But Mace, last night marked the ninth game in 15 nights. They go 4-4-1, and they had obviously some ups and downs. So the biggest down was, of course, against the Blues. But during that stretch, they played some really, really tough teams. So I don't know if I would have said 4-4-1 was what you were looking for, but certainly that could have been a lot worse. And I'm wondering now how much they can get out of these next 3 days just to sort of recharge.
Yeah, I mean, this is huge. They played a ton of hockey, and I feel in that St. Louis game, you kind of saw it all. They just couldn't find it. They're trying to get to that gear. They're trying to keep it at that level that they were in the first period. And I just felt no matter what they did, they just couldn't get there, and they're just out of gas. They found a way to, you know, recover from that and be ready to play Calgary with the, you know, the urgency that they had. And maybe, you know, when you think about it, as bad as that was, it might have been a blessing, because if they go in that St. Louis game and they lose, but they play okay, they did some good things, it could have went either way, but they had, you know, a little lull there. Maybe you don't have to stop that and kind of reset everything, and you know what I mean? So you just kind of coast through that one. You're like, ah, you know, we're okay with a chance. We could have went if we'd have scored here, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that they had that, I felt really was indicative of, or maybe responsible for, the way that they played against Calgary and locked it down. They dug down, and they everything they had mentally and physically, they left on the ice, I feel. And they were mentally prepared. You always hear Hines talk about the preparation before games, and sometimes that's why you get off to a slow start, because you weren't prepared to start the game and you kind of eased into it. But I didn't see that against Calgary. These 3 days are massive in order to recharge those batteries, because even though they played, you know, well against Calgary, there's no way these guys are running on full tanks. You can just tell. I mean, both teams, even Calgary, every team right now is just playing so much hockey. It's just crazy. So they're really going to have to use this. Take your mind off it too, because it's as physically draining as it is, it's even more mentally when you continually have to prepare, you know, to play the most important game of the year every single night. And it starts the night before, it starts 2 games before, you just process the loss. You know, you already got to start, you know, getting ready for the next game. So this is big time for the Preds to have these 3 games going into, obviously, a crazy final stretch here for the boys.
And tonight you've got Dallas in Edmonton to play the Oilers, and then they turn around and play the Flames. The Flames are flying back, I would guess, probably in the air right now, unless they left after the game last night, which I would imagine they didn't. But you never know how teams handle these things. Either way, Calgary will be back home to play the Stars tomorrow. So two enormous games for the Stars tonight while the Predators rest up. So I'm really curious what happens out in Alberta the next two nights. How many points will the Stars have by the time the Predators take the ice in Tampa?
Yeah, I mean, really tough games. You know, Dallas is one of those teams that are obviously hard to play against. They've been getting decent goaltending. We had a tough night against Vancouver, thank God. Seems like every team that was in the race with the Preds there have been winning. We got some help, but it's gonna be tough. I'll be very interested to see how they deploy the goaltenders for the back-to-back against Edmonton and Calgary. you know, I guess it's a matter, we talk about it all the time, Preds got to take care of their situation, but, you know, to me, it's a huge difference if you end up playing Calgary in the first round or Colorado for whatever reason. I don't want to be the team that would be playing Colorado. I feel like they're rolling. You know, all the pressure would be on them. They could maybe be, you know, potentially upset in the first round, but I think that's just going to be a crazy tough matchup. So I think that the Predators' best chance to, you know, to have success in the playoffs would be to go in the Pacific and start with Calgary, and then, you know, maybe your second round. The road to the Western Conference Final is, I think, feasible and something that a seventh seed could achieve. But I'm looking forward to watching those games. I don't watch too many games in between our games, but I'll be watching Dallas. I'm very intrigued to see, considering we just played both teams as well. So just to see how they match up against the, you know, the high flying Edmonton Oilers and the gritty Calgary Flames, and I'll be cheering for Alberta boys. I'll tell you that much.
Yes. And Vegas hosts Washington tonight. That's another big contest in the grand scheme of things. So we'll see what the Capitals do in Vegas and see how Vegas bounces back after getting nicked by the Devils the other night. So, Mace, plenty going on. We'll be watching the scoreboards the next three nights, and then all the Predators have to do is just mosey on down to Tampa and play the two-time defending champs. Schedule gets a lot easier.
No big deal. We'll head down there, pick up 2 points, little vacation, and come on home.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be easy. So, Mace, thanks a lot for joining us. Rest up, and we'll see you here soon.
All right. Thanks, Alex. Take care.
All right, Chris Mason talking some Predators hockey. A big win last night for the team as they knocked off the Calgary Flames 3-2 in the shootout. Let me start the break by telling you about a big sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey, Lee Company. And they'll be sponsoring our coverage of that game down against the two-time defending champion Lightning on Saturday evening. Then it's right back to Bridgestone Arena to take on the Wild on Sunday in the back half of back-to-back. So charging the batteries, then five games right down the stretch in the final, I believe it is 7 or 8 days on the schedule, starting on Saturday. Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. There you go. That's a couple of back-to-backs. It is going to be a sprint to the finish line for sure. And Lee Company will be right there with all of our coverage. And coverage on your home, really, is a good way of putting it, because they've got things that can help you in all fronts. General maintenance, hey, you got some window problems or ceiling problems, Lee Company's got the people that can come out and fix those things for you at your home or at your business. Plus, air conditioning, heating, plumbing, electric. They've got that with their home maintenance plan, year-round coverage with that. So home improvement is the other facet you can check out by going to LeeCompany.com. They've got all these great services for you. They're a proud sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. Their phone number is 615-567-1000. That's 615-567-1000 or LeeCompany.com.
Appreciate Chris Mason for joining us. Candace Lee at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that conversation. Well, we've certainly got a lot of people's attention with the Deebo Samuel news. Deebo Samuel has asked the 49ers to trade them. We've talked a lot about what does this mean for A.J. Brown and the Titans. We got a ton of text, a ton of calls on it. And let's give something away. And let's just do caller 11. You know what I mean? If we're going to talk about A.J. Brown, let's do caller 11. Elijah Campbell at our Hillside Medical Game Studio. Caller 11 will win MLB The Show 22. Super fun for both hardcore and casual baseball gamers. No matter what your play style, MLB Show 22 has you covered. Get it now at PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo consoles. At theshow.com, rated for everyone, 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So in honor of A.J. Brown, we'll do caller 11, lucky caller 11 for that. Let's see, unnamed texter. I'm trying to sift through some of these texts that we got during that discussion. A.J.'s stats are a product of the type of offense that he's in. He's an elite and top 10 receiver without a doubt. You'll have to stop looking so much into the stat sheet. Well, I hope you're right. The Titans hope you're right. But, I mean,
the Titans believe that. They believe that wholeheartedly. But the stat sheet is part of what sets the value for a player. That's my retort to that.
just because you say he's a top 10 receiver, well, he hasn't been a top 10 receiver. He's not even been close to being a top 10 receiver in the league. Let's see if he can get there. You're saying he can, or maybe you're blaming the offense. Okay, that's fair. That's fine. But you're
he's
saying there's no doubt.
The
I don't know
he's extremely
that.
Important.
Yeah.
But yeah. He's a potentially, statistically, he is a top 10 receiver. But numerically, he's not. His importance and value to the offense is probably the best thing he has going for him in terms of his leverage. So that part I agree with. But we're looking for the balance. We're looking for the actual value. What's the fair contract? He deserves a big raise. They want to give him a big raise. But there's got to be, it has to be reasonable based on what he has done. There's nothing else that you can do, bring to the table besides what you have done. He's an extremely impactful player.
Troy,
but you can't go out of control.
No. I mean, again, pay him whatever. Please, let's get out of the business of saying pay him whatever. Like, that's not how the real world works. It's not how it works in sports. Pay him whatever. You can't be more specific. Like, that's not how it works in our lives. It's not how it works in the sports world either. Pay him whatever is not an answer to anything. No, that's not how it works in any scenario, especially a guy that a lot of the stuff that people are saying right now is projections. He's a top 10 receiver. He's elite. Oh, okay, maybe he is. But right now he's not. So you're projecting. Or maybe if he's in a different offense, he'll be that. And maybe so. But it's not what he is. He is not a top 10 receiver in the league. The stats prove that. He is not an elite receiver in the league. He is the number one receiver on the Titans. Yes. Do I think he is vitally important for this offense? 100%. But in the pecking order, for the caller that called in said he is the most important player, disagree. Derrick Henry is the most important player on the team, period. It's not A.J. Brown. It's Derrick Henry. And some people agree with that. Some people don't. Troy in Murfreesboro says in our text line, he says he's upping his Titans paddle boats idea across the Cumberland for the new stadium to value the Titans jet skis. Wide receivers getting what they want. Hey, why not? We had a lot of fun with it that day on the show. And by the way, this is another reason that players should be rooting for the enclosed stadium. That'll help their stats. It'll help them get the money they're searching for. But this is the new trend in the NFL, and it looks like the 49ers said they're not willing to pay him whatever, which is why he's asked for a trade. I do want to see how the league and general managers react to this movement of receivers are saying, you want to pay quarterbacks this crazy, ridiculous money? Well, they need us to put up their numbers. And so they can't do it without us, so you're going to start paying us. And receivers are getting paid. And we're going to see how the league then reacts to and how you make this work where you're giving a top receiver. If you're fortunate enough to have a top receiver and a top quarterback in the league, paying them in the range of 30 to 40 million and then paying the receiver in the range of 20 to 30 million per year, and how you pull that off and have a good team around them. When it comes to football, that's the largest roster you've got in professional sports. Football. It's the biggest roster. You have to field a lot of players. You have to pay a lot of people. It takes a lot of things to happen to be good. Can you pay? Can you have $55 million invested in two positions? Or I should say two players and make everything else work? I don't know. Guess we're
about
to find
out, but
you
have to have, well, you can if you have really smart choices at the other spots. That's why a lot of teams have had, take the Seahawks, when Russell Wilson was on his first contract, they had more money to spend on the other positions. When he started making the big money, you have less of it. I got to give Rich Samini credit. I didn't know where it was coming from when he first put out this stuff where the Jets were in the market. They have the money to do it. They have a quarterback on his first contract.
Yep.
So they have money to invest. They have a very, very young team. And so they have money to play with where they could make this investment in a number one wide receiver. So I thought it was out of left field, but when you really think about it, this is why. The Titans don't have a lot of extra money laying around. They have tough choices.
Rich Samini is a good reporter, and has been for a long time. So I didn't think he plucked it out of thin air, and he's certainly not a guy looking for clicks.
Right. No doubt.
Others in the business, I wouldn't say that about. Rich Samini, I've seen his work from afar and watched him from afar, and he's been on our show many, many times over the years. He's not that guy. So he was getting it from somewhere. And for anybody out there that was saying this is a whole lot to do about nothing, well, you were wrong. This is not a whole lot to do about nothing. It seems pretty clear to me. I mean, if you were betting on it, that group of four that we've been talking about, what odds would you assess that all four of them suit up and for their current teams at the beginning of this upcoming season? What would you put the odds at?
It's a great question. It just depends on how reasonable everybody's willing to be. Like we were saying, the doomsday scenario is a holdout and it's a lose-lose for both teams. So, like, if Deebo Samuel's holding out in week four, he's technically still playing for the 49ers, but it's not really the answer to your question, right?
Well, because what we talked about earlier is a tweet from
the Jets.
Spot
the Jets
track.
May be sitting out there, and they might be letting the 49ers and all these teams know, hey, look, we got money. You know, we might be willing to pay what you're not willing to pay or don't have the budget to pay. So if you're interested, we'll talk. You know, what kind of package can we offer?
Well, I've made it abundantly clear this week for people who don't think number one receivers don't get traded and teams hold on to them in the league. I would tell you I've already given you tons of examples. Well, that's just simply not true. Number one receivers have been traded in this league here. That's also been a new trend where you think, oh, well, how could you get rid of a number one receiver? Look around the league. There's number one receivers on the move. How many number one receivers have stayed with their original team? You just look at the examples of just this offseason alone. They get traded. Steve in Murfreesboro says they should give A.J. Brown 4 years, $20 million per, $50 million of it guaranteed. I don't think that's crazy. Maybe the guaranteed a little bit high. Maybe. It's probably a little high, but 4 for $20 per, 40 for $80. I don't think that's crazy.
In a vacuum, it doesn't sound crazy. It doesn't. It just does it fall into line with all the things you would like to do in the next year or two. It's not just this year, but it's also how does that affect my budget for Jeffrey Simmons and what am I going to do at quarterback in the next 3 years, et cetera.
Yep. Congratulations to Michael Taylor. Michael was listening and was lucky caller 11. So good job by you. Enjoy MLB Show 22. We'll come back, head over to West End. We'll talk with Candace Lee. We'll do that next. Back here on the DDC on this gorgeous Wednesday afternoon, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Let's head over to West End. Let's bring in Athletics Director Candace Lee, who joins us via the telephone, which is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. We're not in person, so I don't have any cookies for you. Sorry.
Oh, man. I know. I figured.
We'll have to do it in person, you know. We can do that.
Yes we can.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are y'all doing?
Well, we're doing fantastic. You had some news to report yesterday, and so let's get into it. Pretty cool story that you're bringing back women's volleyball program, 17th varsity sport. Has it been around in, what, 4 decades?
Yes, I think the last time that we competed was in 1980, so that's
right. Wow. I wasn't even born. Wink, wink.
Yeah, and I was too, but no wink. That's true.
Well done. So what went into that decision? You know, that's a cool story to bring back. People have asked us that. They bring up, we get calls or things on our text line, and that's a sport that has been brought up. Why doesn't Vanderbilt have a women's volleyball program? How much feedback were you getting over the years?
Oh, a lot. There was a lot of feedback over the years. And, you know, we've always been interested in the sports that were out there that we didn't currently offer, starting with those that were sponsored by the SEC that we didn't have. So, you know, over the years, we've paid close attention to softball and volleyball in particular, but other sports as well. And this was the perfect time. So I had said yesterday during the press conference that David Williams, he wanted to add, you know, he wanted to add sports. Even Malcolm Turner, during the year that he was here, he talked about wanting to expand our sports portfolio. I feel very fortunate that I think the conditions are right for us to do it now. It was important to me that we go ahead and get the announcement out and then start working behind the scenes. You know, I wanted ninth graders or 10th graders to know that this can be an option for them. And, you know, when you're adding a sport, you want to be deliberate. You don't want to do that under duress. I think that we can, if we do this right, I think we'll be very competitive. I also wanted to give some time for us to make sure that the sports that we currently sponsor also have what they need to have sustainable success. So it's twofold. You know, on Monday, it's been a big week already. On Monday, we put out more details about our basketball practice facility in the north end zone. And I think that was important so people could truly understand that that will function as the home for Vanderbilt basketball on every day but for, you know, part of game days. Like every day, that will be where our programs spend their time. That then frees up quite a bit of space to provide championship-level facilities for volleyball. So it just it makes a lot of sense. It's been a long time coming, and I'm really excited about it.
Candace, we had David Ubben on earlier from The Athletic, and he assisted on an article with Stuart Mandel on The Athletic, and it was talking about third-party collectives. This is where we are with NIL. And I did also notice that you guys talked about, what, NBC Sports Athlete Direct, which I think is kind of along the same lines, right? This is a place where your student athletes can monetize their name and their image and their likeness. Can you tell us a little bit more about that program that you guys have, I guess, affiliated yourselves with?
Yeah, so that partnership, that's a really neat opportunity for us. We're joining Temple and Notre Dame to pilot this with NBC Sports. Now, I'll tell you that this is the first of several announcements that we're going to make regarding NIL and more to come soon on that. There's a lot that we've been doing behind the scenes, so this is just, I'm certainly not downplaying what we announced yesterday, but this is one part of a much larger effort or much larger mechanism to support NIL. Now, the thing I like a lot about the NBC Sports relationship, primarily that they are focused on how to help all of our student-athletes. So, you know, I know one concern that some people have expressed about NIL is wondering if all sports will have equal opportunities, and particularly female student-athletes. And I think that NBC is committed to providing equitable opportunities just like we are. So we seem to be it's a great partnership. And in terms of collectives, you know, it is not the same as a collective in terms of how they function today. I think you'll find that there's more information to come on that as well. But this is one of many things we're doing related to NIL. And NIL is very complicated, right, because it involves state law. It involves institutional policy. It's coming up in recruiting. It's an opportunity for fans and donors and alums to be engaged. And so we know we have to be nimble, but it's clear that you have to carve out your own space relative to NIL. And I think we have great opportunity being in Nashville.
You guys also decided to change your logo, and I'm sure you heard from no one. Wink, wink. Speaking of the wink, winks. Now, maybe it was just the loud minority, but in all seriousness, what was some of the feedback that you heard? Is this something you expected? Or, you know, what were your thoughts on how people thought of changing the logo?
Yeah, so what I would say, we didn't set out to change our logo. What we did was decide to actually demonstrate the alignment that athletics has with this university and be on the same page with our identity, which includes our marks. So there was no it didn't start off intentionally to change the logo. In terms of being surprised, you know, I think that, like, to be very, very honest, I think that we could have communicated our message better, because the message is that It is a logo refresh, but the biggest thing is that we're using the same V across the board because we are on the same page, because athletics is considered a valuable member of this institution, and finally, like, this is what we wanted. That's the message, right? And as part of that, you have a V that now makes a V that is used in the seal and will be on diplomas, and a new V that's on the word mark, and that same V has then been adapted with different colors for athletics, and now it's on top of a star, and it's in the middle of a star. Listen, you all know I've been here a long time, and I think we've changed our primary logo. I said four, but the other day I was counting. It's probably more like five or six times, because we've never really gotten our arms around having something consistent. So we have a bunch of approved and unapproved marks out there. The only thing that matters to me is that this university is behind what we are doing. That's what matters to me. And I mean that really with all respect, because I like the Star V too. A lot of us did, and we still have a Star V. I had the new Star V pin on the other day, and somebody said to me, you know, I can't believe you're wearing the old pin. And I'm like, this is the new one. And they couldn't tell the difference. Now, some people maybe can tell, and some people can't. What I do know is that we all want this university to get behind all of the students here, which includes our student athletes, and we have that. This is what everybody said they wanted. And so we have that. That's all I'm thinking about. That's all I'm thinking about. And I'm waiting on some new gear to come in.
Yeah, symbolic for sure. Candace Storey-Lee is with us, athletic director at Vanderbilt. And Candace, it's so interesting. Just thumbing through the website here, just thinking about all the things we wanted to ask you about. I contrast that from when you first took over and you had all of these things were swirling around with the Vandy United and the upgrades to facilities. And there were a lot of people going, when are you going to tell us, you know, what you're actually doing? It's got to be nice. You can't keep up with all the things you're doing now.
Well, we do have a lot of things going on, but that's also, it's just acknowledging that there was a lot that needed to be done. And so I don't really think about it more from, I'm glad we're talking about it, but we've been working on it for a long time. So, you know, I have to remind myself, and I think I've said this before on this show, that I am in it every day. So I have all of the information, and other people don't have that benefit all the time. So we need to remember to lift our heads and communicate what's going on, because it takes 100% focus and dedication to get where we need to go. And that's what we're doing. You know, that's what we're doing. And so a lot of work to be done, but really proud of the progress that we've made to date. And I cannot say enough that we have the support to move and to move together. That's incredible. And I know you said symbolic. It's symbolic, though, of something tangible. Like, it's symbolic of something that is real. And that's what has me excited the most.
Candace, I want to ask you one more about the NIL, because it's moving forward at such a fast pace. You guys have clearly jumped on board philosophically here. As you said, you've got, you know, more stages of this to come. But give me, as you saw this happening about a year ago when they announced this, what is the right place for NIL and Vanderbilt in your mind as you piece together this project?
Yeah, it's part of, you know, our goal is to provide the best student athlete experience in the country, to do so holistically, right? So NIL is a part of the student athlete landscape, and so we want to make sure that our student athletes have the information that they need to enter into agreements that they want to be affiliated with brands that they care about, with causes that are important to them. And we want to make sure they have all the information when making decisions. That's it. You know, it's like this is a part of modern day college athletics. And so we know we need to adapt and adjust, but it doesn't change what we do, right? So we're just trying to give tools so students have what they need to succeed and to reach their potential. So now we have to make NIL a part of that equation, but it doesn't fundamentally change how we're approaching what we do for these teams.
Candace, let's do it in person next time. We'll bring some peanut butter cookies. We'll bring some gummy bears. You go get Coach Stack. Come on over. We'll have Haribo, gummy bears. We'll just have a big old cookie and gummy bear party.
I love that. We probably should drink some water. I mean, that's a lot of sugar, but I'm
that is a lot of sugar.
We're going to need to balance this out. We need a balanced meal here somewhere.
That's a good point. Maybe
so much.
I was going to say, maybe a couple treadmills, too. That's a good point. Yeah, that is a lot of sugar.
My knee is getting better and better, so yeah, bring a treadmill. Bring a Peloton. Y'all seem fancy like that. Bring a Peloton, and we'll do it.
Hey, thanks for doing it. As always, good to chat with you. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, thank you.
That is Candace Lee, Athletics Director at Vanderbilt. We'll come back, put a bow on Wednesday's show next. Appreciate Candace Lee for joining us. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville again this May. Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf right now to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. That's a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy that event in style, including food and drinks, plus a Predators gift pack, including polo shirt, balls, and umbrella. Again, text in that word golf. Some news to pass along. Oscar Tshiebwe, I don't know why I always have so much trouble with that. Oscar Tshiebwe has said he is returning to Kentucky. Wow. I am shocked.
And how much of,
I was going to say, and how much of what we've been talking about has to do with that? That's the National Player of the Year.
First one to return for a senior season since Tyler Hansbro. First National Player of the Year to return for a senior year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was going to say Tim Duncan. It doesn't happen
very
often.
Right. You have to go way back. So Oscar Tshiebwe back to Kentucky. Amazing. And I was also seeing this. Jeff Borzello, who was, I guess, a recruiting analyst for ESPN. When it comes to college basketball, do you know what program has made the biggest recruiting jump this offseason? It's an SEC team.
That'd be Arkansas, right?
That's a really good guess, and you'd be wrong.
Wow. They have a loaded
Vanderbilt.
Class.
Vanderbilt, good guess. You would be wrong. How about Kermit Davis and Ole Miss? Biggest jump in the country in recruiting. How about that? Kermit getting it done down in Oxford. NIL. It is changing everything. There's no doubt about it.
I thought it was really interesting. We had that great interview with David Ubben, and he's done a ton of research on this stuff. It's sort of central to what they're doing in Knoxville. And Candace Lee gave her assessment. It sounds like they're slightly different things, but I think the theme here is you better get on board. You better get on board and be cutting edge, or else you are going to be left behind in this recruiting world. And I do think there's going to be hopefully a lot of schools that do this on the up and up, try to embrace it and try to put it in the right place, whatever you think that is, with a person's college lifestyle. And I think there's going to be some that are just flat out a booster, change colors, right? It's just a booster who's now legal and just flat out show up for your check. Because listen, you got coaches for a college athlete. Let's just take your day during a school year. Maybe you have weightlifting in the morning. Then you got two classes before lunch. Maybe you got a class after lunch. Then maybe you have an hour to rest. Then you go over to your facility for whatever you got in the afternoon. That's several hours. This is on a non-game day without travel or anything. But you're spending – do they even still have the 20-hour-a-week rule? That's the most outdated rule of all time. We know nobody's spending 20 hours. It's way more than that.
They never were back then.
Never paying attention anyway. And I was in school. I was a college athlete when they put that rule in. And we all kind of looked around going, wait a minute. We're doing more than 20 hours. They don't account for everything, but let's put that aside. But social life, all of the things that you'd like to have as your college experience. So how many more hours are we adding to try to justify what you're making for the NIL? Is it just simply you show up once a month and speak to some people? Is that where you get $1 million? Like, what are you doing to earn this $1 million or whatever some of these athletes are getting?
A lot of it's like social media related. You do like an ad tweet or an ad Instagram post.
Yeah.
That's where most of these athletes have been doing it. They'll just take a picture of them eating at like Checkers or something and like, oh man, these fries are really good. Hashtag ad.
Right.
And then if they have a certain amount of followers, that's the equivalent of having an advertising thing.
Right. So the question I have is that really, let's throw out the thing Checkers. Okay. Let's just say it's Checkers, whatever.
Great fries.
Is that really a good return on the investment for Checkers, or is the guy that's running Checkers just simply, look,
a huge fan of that?
I'll get what I get. I'll get what I get from this. If it works, great, but I want us to win.
I don't think they're actually in meetings, in board meetings going, let's look at the profiles of these kids. So the way they can help sell. There's a connection, right? Like somebody at that place is a huge fan of the program, and look, that's how all this happens. It's not because they're looking at X athlete going, if they tweet out a picture of them eating our fries, our fries will go up 50% in sales, the next month. I mean,
couldn't you imagine what Arby's could have done with potato cakes there?
I mean,
they could have saved the potato cakes.
Endless, but instead they made the dumbest decision ever to get rid of them. Dumb. By the way, Tony Vitello, whatever you think about him, I'm just the more he gets it, man. He gets it. He just does. Like everybody in the country is going to know who Tony Vitello is, and he's Tennessee's baseball coach. Today he's walking around campus, because he's been given a 4-game suspension with a sign in front of him that says $2 chest bumps. And he's given the money to Wounded Warrior Project. Like I said, whatever you think of him, man, I'm telling you, this cat gets it. He just does. He is walking around UT's campus right now selling $2 chest bumps, and he's given the money to a charity.
Do you think he grew up and got tutelage from Kevin O'Neill at some point? Like, I'm just thinking some of these people. I mean, he's got some screws loose, but he's not the first coach that's like that, right? That's great.
But I think it's some of this stuff is good screws. Like that stuff right there.
Yeah, no,
come on. That is, I know he's kind of poking fun at what he did. And I mean, quite honestly, they're the number one team in the country. His price is a little low. Like somebody needs to get with him. It's like, Tony, you can charge more, man. Charge $10 chest bumps. If you really want to raise money for charity, $2, you're giving away those chest bumps. Come on. Real quick on the way out. We've had Bill Barnwell on over the years, and you know how he does like these proposed trades. Have you seen the one he put out today?
He is one of the original football outsiders.
Yeah. Do you know what one he
that
just
I refer
put out
to
today?
All the time. Fire away.
Okay. This team gets the 10th pick in the draft, the 69th pick in this year's draft,
nice,
and the first round pick for next year. And a quarterback, and in return, this other team gets the starting quarterback of that team and a fourth-round pick. Any idea who I'm talking about?
No, just we don't
the
have enough
Jets
time.
And the Cardinals. Kyler Murray to the Jets. Arizona gets this year's 10th pick and 69th pick, next year's first round, and Zach Wilson.
Woo!
How
doozy.
That you talking about an explosion if that happens.
Can you imagine New York?
They will go absolutely bonkers. And again, the AFC just continues if that happens. The AFC is ridiculous if that happens, right? Every player feels like on the move this offseason has come into this conference. That's just a proposed trade, by the way. That is not anything that's happened, but he did put that out there. Pretty interesting stuff. Boy, it was an active show. I feel like we lost weight on today's show. This was a workout. That's a good thing, especially if we're going to eat cookies and gummy bears. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We shall see you then.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.